And always love thinking about what can we teach and what's God trying to say to us that would help us in our family life. And we're all a part of a family, whether you want to admit it or not, whether they claim you or not, you're all part of a family. And the way we are today, a lot of it relates to our family life. And the way you're going to be in the future is going to relate to your family life now and in the next few months and years. So we love teaching something about that as we're coming into the holidays. And I think the title is going to be, I haven't totally finalized it, but I think it's going to be Radioactive Attitudes. Ooh. And see, radioactivity can be an amazing thing when used well, but it can be pretty toxic when not used well also, huh? It has a half-life and all that kind of stuff, but radioactive attitude, we'll be starting that next Sunday. If you want to invite, you might want to invite some people that need some radiation treatment. Yeah, we're going to kill all that bad stuff and discover all the good stuff. Amen. So we're concluding this entrapment series. Some of you will be really glad to get rid of the cobwebs around here, huh? I was thinking we need to fire our janitor. Oh, she already quit. Kari's been doing it for the last several weeks, and I'm going to have to fire her or something. Yeah. I think I was like Johnny Schuster. I helped Kari clean the church yesterday, and or the day before, Friday night. And it was like, wow, that's a big job, and you people are messy, and and all that kind of stuff. And appreciate the janitors and all the work that they do. Amen. Our first lesson in this series was called Hunger Entrapment. And you know, spiders weave webs so that they can entrap their prey and kill them, consume them. We have an enemy like that too, that baits us, uses our hunger to bait us, and then he does nasty things to us after that. But God gave us the hunger, and he said, why are you chasing things that will never satisfy you? Why don't you let me come to me, and I will feed you, and I will quench your thirst. So we talked about that on the first lesson. The second lesson, Arby talked about web design and how we were designed for greatness. When God created us, he said, now that's good. And he's got good purposes for us, and he's designed an amazing strategy, purpose, and plan that we're a part of. And hopefully you can discover that and participate in that. RB talked about the spider can only build a web on the things it internalizes. And you and I can only build a life on what we've internalized also. And so what's inside of you? What have you been consuming? Whatever that is, that's what you're creating around you also. So if we would, you are what you eat, right? So if we would consume better things, maybe life would be better on the outside also. Last Sunday, we talked about no limits, and God wants to break us out of the webs, break us out of restrictions, and he really, really wanted to convince us last week that with him, all things are possible, and there are no limitations with God. And if you missed any of those CDs are available, $2. You can have them, make you a copy. You can go on our website, listen to them for free. Hey, that's even better. Download them on your iPod or on your phone and take them with you, whatever you'd like to do. But that's available. Today, we're going to be talking about the art of deception. You've probably heard that phrase before, right? The art of deception. And I was thinking that there's a lot of people that make money with the art of deception, you know. A lot of people, I think the magicians, they make money with art of deception, you know. And I was thinking of athletes, and today there's a lot of athletes on the fields, and they fake this way and go that way, and they kind of deceive, and they score the touchdown or the run or the baseball pitcher or whatever they're trying to do. And then politicians, people that make their money with the art of deception, and people that make Chevys, stuff like that. But let's talk about deception for just a little bit. If you knew you were deceived, you wouldn't be deceived, right? Deception is deceptive. It really is. I'm not deceived, but do you know that you're not deceived? Because if you knew you were deceived, you wouldn't be deceived. But the fact that you are deceived means you don't know you're deceived, and you're believing something you shouldn't believe, or acting in ways you shouldn't act, or thinking in ways you shouldn't think, but you don't know any better because you don't know you're deceived. That's deceptive. There's an art to all of that. There's a web-weaving art to deception. There really is. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, we're going to read a couple verses there talking about Jesus speaking about Satan and our enemy. He says, "You are of your father the devil." He's not talking about you now, so calm down. He's looking at these Pharisees. These were actually religious people who thought they were okay. Maybe he is talking about you. No, probably not. "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth." Notice that. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Hey, when Satan's lips are moving, he's lying. There's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Verse 45 says, "Which of you convict," or verse 45 says, "But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." There's been a lot of people try to tell us the truth that we didn't believe, right? Have you been there before? Somebody tried to tell you, but you would not believe. You had a different idea. And Jesus is talking to the religious folks here, and he says, "I'm trying to show you this new way. I'm trying to show you that this is the fulfillment of prophecies for thousands of years. I'm trying to show you that I came to the planet. This is God's will, has been God's will from the beginning of creation, from the foundation of the world. I'm the lamb that was slain. I was prepared for this day, for this moment, and yet you're not receiving me, and you don't understand. I'm telling you the truth, but you're believing the lies. You're deceived." Man, when I read stuff like that, I'm going, "God, what about me? Am I caught up in this art of deception too? What is really true? What is really true?" Do you ever go through thoughts? Kari says that if I think I'm too analytical, and she says, she goes, "People go insane thinking the way you think." And was it Wednesday night at our staff volunteer meeting? They were trying to discover if I was ADD or OCD. And Kari said I was just ODD. Just odd. That was it. So I have been diagnosed now. I'm ODD. But I wonder about things. Am I deceived? And I think about that. I'm a pastor. I'm leading church. I'm leading other churches in other roles that I have. I'm wearing a suit today because I'm going to Walla Walla and helping a church there this afternoon. So I had to look official. So that's why I'm wearing the suit. Had to break out the suit, blow the dust off the shoulders. So don't get used to it. But I think, am I deceived? I'm a pastor. People trust me. I'm trying to lead people. I'm trying to teach truth. Am I deceived? And I have to analyze that. I have to look. And in our world today, the standard of truth has been deteriorated a lot. Even in the church world today, there's pastors and denominations and congregations that do not believe the Word of God is inerrant truth. I personally believe the Word of God is inerrant. There's no error in it. Some people think it contains the truth. I think it is the truth. I think if God isn't big enough to give us his unadulterated truth, he's not big enough to serve anyway. Right? That's kind of the way I look at it. So I just have to say, that's the truth. And if it isn't the truth, Maybe there isn't a God and he's not big enough to serve anyway. I know there is a God and I know he created the heaven and earth, so I have to believe then that he has given me a standard for truth. And when I look at that honestly, I just have to say the Bible is the standard for truth. And there is no other standard except that. So am I deceived? And when I'm trying to discern am I deceived or not, I have to say, do I believe the truth? Jesus said, if you know the truth will make you free, right? There's another verse that says that Satan would deceive the very elect if it was possible. So Satan's out there creating deception and God's revealing truth, and you and I get a chance to choose and pursue which one we want. And that's a little crazy, I know, but it's still the way it is. So I'm fairly certain none of us are totally deception-free. You agree with me? Or do you think you're anybody here think you're totally deception-free? I think I'm better today than I was yesterday, and I think I'm better in my 50s than I was in my 40s, and those of you that are in your 60s and 70s and 80s, you probably are way ahead of me, but I'm discerning truth and learning it and experiencing it. But our enemy fills the world with lies and deceptions, and we have to discern about that. Here's some questions that I have. How deceived are we? I don't think we're deception-free, but how deceived are we? And then I look in the mirror and I say, how deceived am I? I don't have an answer for it. It's just a question that I ask. That's why Kari says I go insane someday if I'm not careful. I'm ODD. Are we deceived in the big areas of life? Now, if I'm deceived, but I got the big areas covered, and I know the truth in the big areas, I'm okay with driving a Ford, even if Chevys might be better. I'm okay. I don't think it's true, but I'm okay if it's not true. I'm okay. But if I'm believing Jesus is the Savior, Creator, Redeemer, He came, He died, He resurrected, He ascended, He's coming back. If I believe that and it's not true, wow, that's one of the big things. If I'm an atheist, that's one of the big things. Where did we come from? Where are we going? And what are we supposed to do about all that? Those are some big questions that we really need to answer. So are we deceived in the big areas of life? And then the last question is, how can I be less deceived tomorrow than I am today? That's one of my questions. How can I be? And I know you don't hear questions like this in church a lot. It's like, we know the truth and you believe like we do or you're all going to hell. I know you hear that in church a lot. I probably said that in church back in the past. I've probably been one of my sermons, if you dug out the old cassette tapes or something, you know. How can I be less deceived than I am now? We'll talk, hopefully we can answer those questions for you. Deceived means to roam from safety or truth or virtue. You roam away from safety, virtue, and truth. It means you go astray, you're seduced, you wander, you're out of the way. At least seven times in the New Testament, God says these three words. Yeah, three words. Be not deceived. And then he follows that with some statements. At least seven topics anyway. And we're going to look at seven of those just briefly. I'm not reading these verses, but they're there for you to look up when you get home. In Matthew 24:4, he's saying, do not be deceived about who I am, when I'm coming back, and what the end is going to be like. Don't be deceived about that. Do not be deceived. In these 1 Corinthians 6 and Ephesians 5 and 1 John 3, he says, do not be deceived about what sin is, what sin will cause you to go to hell, and how you can be cleansed from sin. Don't be deceived about that. And it's do not be deceived, and he follows that with these teachings and these statements. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, Do not be deceived about the fact that there is life after death and there is a resurrection. Do not be deceived about that. Then he follows up with this interesting phrase, evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil, and I said, wow. So we can be caught up in communication, thinking, and ideas that will corrupt the goodness that's really in us. And we can end up being deceived about, is there life after death? What is life after death? Is it Nirvana, you know, or is that just a rock band, you know? We have to ask some of those questions, you know. What is it that we can go into all the different beliefs of what life is after death, but he says, don't be deceived about that. And then he teaches you what it is. In Galatians 6:7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a person sows, that they will also reap. Don't be deceived. You're going to reap what you sow. So don't do the bad stuff and think you're going to get good stuff. And don't be doing the good stuff and think that all you deserve is bad stuff. Don't be deceived about that. If you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. Do not be deceived about that. You do reap what you sow. 2 Thessalonians 2, he says, do not be deceived by any means. And then he gives you a list, not by letter, not by fear, not by misrepresentation, and not by lies. Don't be deceived by writings. Don't be deceived by fear. Fear is quite a motivator for some people. It's an interesting topic. There's whole news networks based upon it. You know, CNN, constant negative news. There's whole political agendas. So there's whole religious agendas based on fear. There's whole ideas about what we should do and shouldn't do, and dig a bunker and get some food and a bunch of ammo, and, you know, the Antichrist is coming, you know. There's just a whole bunch of stuff about fear. But it says, do not be deceived by letter, fear, misrepresentation, or lies. Don't be deceived by that. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. I wanted to read this one. It's probably back there behind me, huh? Ooh, look at that. 22. Do you not see that faith, let me read it up here. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word but not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. So don't be a doer, or don't be just a hearer of the word, be a doer, right? So you can deceive yourself. You can be sitting in church and hear and hear and hear, but never do. You can go home and open your Bible and read and read and read, but never do. You can have mom and dad teach you, grandpa and grandma teach you, but you can still never do. And if you hear but don't do, you're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. And verse 26 says something about our tongue. Can you flip me the one more verse? I know you can. It's possible. All things are possible. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Now that one hurts a little, doesn't it? If you think you're religious, if you think you're a Christian, but you won't bridle your tongue, you won't discipline your tongue, you let evil, nasty, mean things roll off your tongue, your religion's worthless. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself and sit here and look pretty and go home and have this nasty tongue. Do not deceive yourself. That doesn't mean go home and end it all because you must be a hypocrite. It means make your lifestyle and your tongue line up with your beliefs. And I really think today God wants to touch some of our hearts, and he wants to say, it's time for you to stop talking the way you've been talking. You better change your attitude and change your tongue. Don't treat the waitress that way. Don't treat your family that way. Don't talk on the phone like that. Quit doing those Facebook status updates. Quit that. You say you're a Christian and you put that on Facebook? Come on now. Your religion, your listening to the word, if it's not getting in you and changing you, it could end up being totally worthless to you. It could end up that way. Not that it is today, but it really could end up that way. Don't be deceived. And as you know, I could talk a long time about that, but I only preach about 30 minutes. Oh, don't be deceived, right? There's the web of deception right there. They actually have a timer up for me today. I have 12 minutes and 13, 12, 11 seconds. I better hurry. Ephesians, I told them to put the timer up. I'm trying to be nice to y'all. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10. How can we not be deceived or be much less deceived? So I don't want to just talk about you're all deceived. Have a good day. Go home. I don't want to leave us there. It's like, how can we be less deceived? And Ephesians 6 and verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. There's a lot of deception out there in the world, and our enemy is good at it. He's been at it a while, but you and I have some weapons and some tools that God's given us. And verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, we talked about that last week, stand therefore, having girded with your waist truth, a belt of truth. King James Version says, putting on the belt of truth. So we're going to talk about the belt of truth today. Back in the olden days, everybody wore robes, right? And it's hard to run in a robe. You ever see a bride go upstairs? It's really hard just to keep your foot out of the end of the dress and get up the stair. And yeah, there's been lots of accidents and stuff like that. But so the belt of truth, have you ever seen guys today that maybe need a belt because their trousers are dragging in the back? You know, there's been a lot of thugs caught by police because their pants fell down when they were running away. And it's hard to run with your trousers around your ankles. It's really hard to run that. Have you ever tried it? It's really hard to. You can do the 1 foot hop, but it's really hard to run that way. This belt of truth gathers everything for you so that you can move well, run well, go where you want to go where you need to go. This belt of truth will gather your life about you and secure it. And so God says there's something that you can have, that you can use. There's a tool. It's called the belt of truth. And if you don't have truth girding around you, holding your whole life together, then you're going to have a difficult time in life. If you live your life based upon deception instead of truth, you'll end up running into the wall again and again and again and again and not knowing why. Not knowing why. You know people who should know better but don't, and they keep running into the wall. They keep running into the wall. I just can't keep a job. Maybe you should show up on time every time you're scheduled. I can't keep a job. Maybe you should produce while you're there, but I just can't, and everybody's mad at me. I don't ever quit a job. I've never quit the last 15 jobs I ever had. Because you were fired. You got fired because you didn't show up on time. You got fired because you didn't produce any money for the company that hired you. So, but some people just can't quite get that. You know, I want a girlfriend. You should brush your teeth. You should comb your hair. You should pull your trousers up, you know. You should. And so a lot of times we've met all sorts of people. I don't know why I keep hitting the wall. My car keeps breaking down. That's a great spot for a Chevy joke right there. Just tune it up. Maintain it. you know? Change the oil. There's a lot of ways that you can keep from hitting the wall. My wife, she's not happy with me anymore. Talk nicer to her. Have you ever called a flower shop or went in? Have you ever done that? You know, people keep hitting walls because they don't know the truth. They just don't know the truth. And there's times we have the phrase of, do you want me to tell you the truth or lie to you? Sometimes we just rather have them lie to us. The truth will hurt you some days, but it'll make you better and it'll set you free. You need truth to gird your life up. Truth is what you need, and we've defined it as the Bible and what God says as truth, and I think that's absolutely the way it is. So put on the belt of truth. Truth will set you free. Truth liberates you. You want to know the truth. Anything less than the truth, and you can't respond properly. If people are dishonest when I ask them a question, I can't respond properly. What's wrong? Nothing. Cool. See you later. But if people don't respond with truth, we can't respond either. You can't react when your pants are sagging. You keep tripping on your robe if you don't put your belt on. You need truth to gird you up, hold you together, reduce your tripping hazards, increase your speed, increase your agility. The truth is amazing, and the truth will set you free. You want that. You don't want the art of deception going on in your life. In 1 Peter 1:13, it says, gird up the loins of your mind. Your loins are right here, right? Gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up those gluteus maximuses and gird up those quads and those things that are in your mind, those big muscles of your mind. Gird those things up with truth so that you can use the strength of your mind in the right way. Sometimes we use the strength of our mind in all the wrong ways. Use it in the right way. Ephesians 4 says that God gives us apostles, pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, so that we can not be deceived, so that we can know the truth. And we need that. We need those people in our life that will teach us truth and will keep us from being deceived. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. I'm going to read that up here. The world is unprincipled. It's a dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have, never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. I'm going to read a little more, but the culture that we're in is full of the lies and deceptions of the enemy. We just have to discern which one of those things are. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of a life shaped by Christ. So God has given us truth to identify what deception is, and then we gird everything up and gather everything up and attach it to the truth. Attach your life to truth. Attach your relationships to truth. Attach your business principles to truth. Attach how you treat others to truth. Attach all of your life with this belt of truth, and you'll love the results of that. It's not wrong to question. And it's not wrong to be in a state of discovery. It's not wrong to even doubt and bend with the wind of thought at times. But what God loves is truth is available, and if you keep seeking the truth, you'll find it. That's what I love about God. He's not so worried about where I am today as long as I'm on this journey towards truth. Sometimes we judge others and criticize others and are harsh towards others because they haven't completed their journey yet, and we're judging them on where they're at today. God's not quite that way. God is so patient with us, and he loves the fact that we're on the journey, so just keep moving forward in that journey. God's not intimidated by your questions. He's not confused by your anger towards him. He loves to reveal himself, and he knows the truth will set you free. So sometimes you just got to chill out and keep seeking the truth. You don't have to correct everybody all the time for everything. They're on their truth journey too. Now, we need relationships that will correct us, and we need people that will speak into our life, but we don't need to be critical and judgmental and harsh towards each other. We can be trapped in deception and delusion. We can deceive ourselves while trying to justify our preferred position. Have you ever deceived yourself while trying to justify your position? Like, I'm not willing to admit I'm wrong, so I'm going to justify this thing. I'll think about it later. But right now, I'm in a battle to justify my position. We can mess up a whole lot of other people with our deceptions also. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Read that in the Amplified. I know it's going to show up. I don't usually wait for the screen, but I thought today I would. I'm putting Ryan on the spot back there. I have it on my phone, though. Second Corinthians 2:14. 2 Timothy 2:14. Remind the people of these facts and solemnly charge them in the presence of the Lord to avoid petty controversy over words, which does no good, but upsets and undermines the faith of the hearers. So we're reminding people to not argue about things that don't matter, because there are things that do matter that we need to save that energy for. Study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, a workman that has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing and rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved. The truth's available. Study to show you, but avoid all empty, vain, useless, and idle talk. It will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their teaching will eat away like a cancer. Deceptive teaching, deceptive thoughts will eat away like a cancer or gangrene in our life. That's why I wanted to talk about the art of deception today, because if you are deceived, and you are, but if you're deceived in the big areas of life, it is eating you right now. It's eating your happiness. It's eating your energy. It's eating your joy. But the truth will set you free. You might be caught in one of those webs of deception right now, but Jesus wants to come along and pick you out of that web and set you free. And I love that about God, and I love what he wants to do for us there. What God says is much more important than what we think. Amen? I am not a fan of an opinion fest. I'm not a fan of opinion fest. I love discussing things, but to just everybody to vent their opinions on a matter is exhausting to me. So we should find out what God says and let's everybody adjust to that. Amen? Because what God says is more important than what you think about whatever it is. Don't fall prey to the ancient art of deception. Seek truth. Honestly seek truth. Here's what I want you to know today. Deception is an ancient trick of our enemy. The world is full of lies and deceptions. They are designed to cause you to miss the goodness of God. And I really wanted to boil it down to that. God is good. Karen started us out saying that today. And Satan hates God, and he hates you. And all of his deceptions are designed to cause you to miss out on the goodness of God. It's really that simple. It's really that simple. Here's what I want you to do. Study, seek, and pursue truth. Break free from the webs of deception. Study, seek, and pursue truth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you today that truth is available. We thank you today that you're not hiding truth from us, but you're revealing truth to us. You've given us the Bible. You've given us many, many things, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, all the other gifts of the church. You've given us these things to lead us into truth. And Lord, I just pray that we would be a group of people who would be less deceived and more free every day. Every day. Help us teach truth here. Help us live it out here. God, some of us today need to be more truthful with our speech. Some of us today need to cause our tongue to line up with what the Word says instead of how we think or feel about things. Lord, you're touching that part of our life today. We ask you to help us and change us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The ushers are going to come.